Rob Smith survived a rugged basic training as a 17-year-old, only to find himself struggling to deal with his homosexuality, isolation, and paranoia. His Army unit became one of the first called into Iraq. Rob Smith has written about the first Iraq War, the first Iraq War memoir by an African-American, and the first by a gay soldier. He's frank in this book, and he reminds us that the battle for equality in the eyes of the military is not over, regardless of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Rob Smith is the author of Closets, Combat, and Coming Out, Coming of Age as a Gay Man in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Army. He joins us this morning from his home in New York City. And Rob, thanks for taking some time. Nice to have you.
No, absolutely. Nice to be here.
Well, let's start at the beginning, Rob. Why go into the Army in the first place?
Well, I always say, you know, I'm from a small town called Akron, Ohio, right? I was born...
Sure.
Poor kid, lower middle class. Neither one of my parents, and as a matter of fact, nobody in my family had ever went to college. So being able to, at some point, get a college education was a really big motivator in terms of my decision to go into the military. I graduated high school. I went to a high school that wasn't so great, so it wasn't like I was getting all this attention from guidance counselors, and they were kind of telling me the right way to go about applying to college and all that stuff. So I'm there about 3 months after I graduated from high school, not really doing too much, and I knew that I needed to do something to change my life and to kind of try to get to the next level, and I just felt that at that point in time, the military was it.
Did you know, Rob, that you were gay before you left Ohio for the military?
You know, I don't think that I had attached a word to it.
Yeah, that's my sense from reading your book. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely knew that I was attracted to men. I knew that I never really felt the attraction of girls in the same way, and I kind of always knew that I was different. I don't know if I was just looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I was gay right before I went out to the military. I was still very young. I was barely 17 years old. So I was still trying to figure all those things out.
You know, but pretty quickly, once you got to basic training, you encountered just an avalanche of homophobia and racism in the Army there. Describe that for us. What did you run up against?
Well, one of the first scenes in the book is I'm just basically right off the bus, first day of basic training. I'm in the staging area. The drill sergeant actually kind of caught my eye. You're supposed to look straight forward, but he caught my eye, literally left in front of a rows of people and was just screaming, in my face, you know, homophobic slurs, weak, things like that. So I really ran up into that a lot from the very beginning. I was very young, mind you. I was just barely 17. I was also the only black soldier in my basic training company, and this was in the Deep South. You know, this was in Fort Benning, Georgia, in the infantry, which is all male and very hyper-masculine. So I really ran into that kind of stuff fairly immediately, and I was ostracized and made the other very, very quickly early on in my military career.
So rule number one, Rob, is you never look the master sergeant right in the eye when you get to basic training, right?
Absolutely. Never look the drill sergeant in the eye.
You know, there's that infamous scene in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, you know, where the drill sergeant is ripping into the new recruits with all sorts of slurs. So this idea of the military being homophobic and racist, you know, really isn't new. Why do you think we've tolerated that for so long? And maybe to some extent we still tolerate it today.
You know, that's a really good question. You know, I do a lot of lecture work on college campuses and universities and stuff. And I sometimes get some people during the Q&As that kind of, I don't want to say they want to argue, but they want to say, well, you know, just because he was dropping the F-bomb doesn't necessarily mean he was homophobic, you know, just because they're ostracizing you doesn't mean they were racist, you know, they're just trying to toughen you up and they're just trying to do this and they're just trying to do that. I think that the United States military is very traditional, you know, and we're trying to move it into the present and into the future, but this is something that is very, very, very old school and very traditional. And life in the military, it truly is a different world. It truly is.
Do you think it's changing now in the wake of the changes to Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I mean, what's your sense? You're not there anymore, but what are you hearing?
I'm hearing, you know, I hear a lot of different things. I hear that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal has definitely moved the conversation forward. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I'm hearing different things. I'm hearing that gay soldiers, LGB soldiers, are a little bit more open to be who they are. They're a little bit more comfortable with it. I mean, and they should be, because basically what Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal means is that you can no longer be fired, right, for being gay.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that we're dealing with in the military post Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal are threefold, and some of those are being dealt with right now. The first issue is that there is still not a non-discrimination policy in regards to sexual orientation in the military. There are non-discrimination policies for race, for gender, and for religion. So basically what that means is, if I'm in a military unit and I feel like somebody's discriminated against me on the basis of race, you know, there are channels that I can go through to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But those protections do not exist for lesbian, gay, and bisexual soldiers to this day. And I think that even though Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed, I generally do think that they are still at risk as long as there is no non-discrimination policy there.
I want to go back and ask about your story in just a moment, but Rob Smith is the author of Closets, Combat, and Coming Out, Coming of Age as a Gay Man in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Army. He'll be speaking this weekend at the Midwest Bisexual, Lesbian, Gay, Transgender Ally College Conference at the Kansas City Convention Center. More information for that event on our website, KCUR.org. So, Rob, just going back to your story, on top of the regular stress of being, you know, broken down by drill sergeants, and you're dealing with your own sort of burgeoning sexuality, how did you deal with all that? You're 17 years old.
Yeah, at 17 years old. You know, the first part of my book is really about, it's more about physicality, right? The first third of the book is about how I'm literally physically broken down, because not only was I 17 years old, not only was I young, I was also heavy. You know, I was a really heavy kid. So I'm put in that environment of the United States Army Infantry Basic Training, which is the toughest basic training and toughest job in the Army. Like, these are combat troops, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was just dealing with that. It's literally dropping the fat and just getting stronger, you know, physically and mentally. And one thing that I want to always make sure that I'm doing when I'm talking about the military, when I'm talking about this project in this book, is that it is not there to bash the military. It's there to bring light to some issues that are still going on. But when you read the book, when you read me going through the journey, there's actually a level of understanding that I end up coming up to with the drill sergeants, and you kind of get the sense that, you know, the racism and the homophobia and all that stuff is there, but what happens is, at the end of the day, the basic training, when I'm able to make it through it, it makes me physically and mentally much stronger.
What was the toughest moment for you?
The toughest moment, I think, for me was in basic training, or just...
Yeah, maybe early on, I'm talking about when you were really struggling to sort of pull yourself together.
I think the toughest moment was we had to do a 32-mile road march at the end of basic training. Mm. So you do this 32-mile road march over the course of 18 to 24 hours. It's different levels. You're running, you're climbing, you're doing all these things. And that was actually a very, very, very physically grueling thing. And if you don't make that road march, you know, you don't complete basic training. So even though I was much stronger at that point in time, that was still a very, very, very tough moment. Now, moving forward into the rest of the book, because I do talk about going to Iraq and being there, you know, right after the initial invasion.
Yeah.
It is a very tough thing to be, at that point in time, I was 20 years old. It is a very tough thing to be a 20-year-old that is facing issues of life and death and not knowing if the day you open your eyes is the day that, you know, you're going to open your eyes for the last time.
Did you have anybody to confide in during those first months as you were making the big adjustment?
I did. I actually came out to my best friend in the military the night before we deployed to Iraq, and it went really well. And the thing about that was that we were able to become so much closer, just as friends, you know, and as soldiers, being able to confide in him with that. I think that it made the Iraq deployment a lot easier than it would have been otherwise. And it also strengthened our relationship, because these are people that are standing to your left and your right, that you're responsible, you know, for whether they live and die, and they're responsible for whether you live or die. So you want to be as close to them as possible.
Had anybody else, Rob, figured out that you were gay prior to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually tell a story in the book about there was an after-hours club. It was called Hide and Seek. I'll never forget it because every gay guy remembers the first gay club, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would go there after hours because it was open to people that were under 21 after 2 a.m. But in Colorado Springs, it was the only after-hours club, so kind of like everybody would go there.
Huh.
And there was one time where I went there, and I was kind of, you know, dancing with a guy, having fun, doing whatever, and I literally locked eyes with two other soldiers in my platoon. One of them was a squad leader in my platoon,
mm-hmm.
And another one was a really close friend of his. So I'm thinking, you know, crap, my, you know, this is over. I'm going to get kicked out. I'm not going to be able to go to college. I'm not going to be able to do anything like that. So we locked eyes. We spoke briefly, and I just kind of, like, rushed out of the club, you know, driving back home just thinking that it's all over. And I see them on Monday, and they just never said a word. And what I feel like, and I always share that story because I really do feel like even then and even now, most people generally don't care.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched.
But the thing about it is,
No, go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to say that most people generally don't care about the sexual orientation. The reason that we need that non-discrimination policy there is because there are people that do care, and there are people that will continue to discriminate against LGBT soldiers, even though Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed.
You know, that story is sort of one aspect of your story here. The other thing that really struck me was the interviews I've watched where you've talked about unexpectedly coming out to your own mom during a phone call. Can you recount that story for us?
Yes,
it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. But I'll tell you, at a certain point, I was about either 18 or 19 at the time. I had actually attached, you know, a word to gay. I'd realized that that's who I was. And the funny thing about being gay is that I've never had an issue with being gay. I've never thought that it made me any less than or anything like that. So I gave my mother a phone call and I said, well, Mom, you know, when I come home for Christmas, I've got something to tell you. And then just immediately she must have known something. So she goes, well, what, are you going to tell me you're gay? And then I said, well, you know, I think that maybe I am. And then that, her reaction was not good. It was one that was of rejection, of saying that that's not what God intended. You can't come home. You could get kicked out, all this other stuff. It sent me into a spiral of depression that actually made me suicidal. I was actually going to kill myself one night. But I was able to talk to my sister. My sister talked me off the ledge, and I kind of worked through those issues. So when I'm going to speak at, you know, this conference this weekend, I always bring that story up because our LGBT youth are struggling with this. They are struggling with dealing with suicidal thoughts, and they are struggling with being able to exist in a world that doesn't recognize your humanity and that doesn't recognize your equality, and that can really do a number on people psychologically.
How are you and your mom today, Rob?
My mom and I today are absolutely fine. You know, this was a really long time ago. And, you know, the book takes you through that journey of from that moment when she did reject me to a few years later when she had actually had a cancer scare. I had actually went home. This was right around the time of 9/11. And we were able to reconnect in that way. And she actually really did come around, very much so. In the last 7 to 10 to 13 years. We actually have a really good relationship right now. Now, sometimes she doesn't understand, and I feel like sometimes she's hurt by the fact that I recount that story so much, but I have to tell her that it's important because it's not about her or it's not about me. It is about the LGBT youth that are out there that can learn something from this story and that can be empowered from that story.
So your relationship with your mom, again, one part of this. How do you feel today about the Army, Rob? Because it struck me that you were pretty disillusioned with the military, just in general, after your stint.
By the time, you know what, I knew that the military wasn't for me. I feel like this about the Army, and this is why I always say that this book is not about bashing the Army. I feel like my military experience is one of the things that I'm most proud of that I've ever done, you know, on this earth. That is one of the things. I do realize that it can be a pretty amazing way for somebody who may not come from wealth or even from a middle-class background to change their life, to be able to see the world, to be able to get a college education. Now, where the class issues and everything like that come up is when you realize that this is a decision that not everybody has to make.
Yeah.
You know, I come from a lower middle class background, do not have parents that went to college. This was one of my only options. Now, you can talk a little bit more about why military service and risking your life should be the only option for some kids to be able to better themselves through college, but I think that's kind of a whole other conversation.
You know, Rob, we just have about 45 seconds left, and to sort of put a cap on this conversation, you went from being part of 12 LGBT activist veterans who were arrested outside the White House for protesting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. A month later, you're at the White House, invited by the president to attend his signing of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. What was that moment like for you?
That was one of the most amazing moments of my life. I was in the room with all of these veterans and activists who were a part of this repeal in so many different ways. And that was the thing that struck me the most. And it told me that we can win. It told me that the fight for LGBT equality, not only in the military, but basically in the world, you know, in America, is an important fight. It's one of the, it is the defining civil rights moment of my lifetime. And it is a battle that can be won if you fight and if you believe in what you want.
Rob Smith is the author of Closets, Combat, and Coming Out, Coming of Age as a Gay Man in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Army. He'll be speaking on Saturday morning at the Midwest Bisexual, Lesbian, Gay College Conference. More information about that on our website, kcur.org. And Rob, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Good luck, Rob. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR. Up to date, you can follow me at Steve Kraske. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.